Napa know-how. A Napa guy knows that by the foot, there's no better ride than an old station wagon. Room for six people facing forward, two people facing backward, and a whole lot of luggage, lumber, and bicycles haphazardly strapped to the roof. If you can parallel park that beast, you can park anything. And with some quality parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep your land ship running longer, stronger. It's not obsolete. It's a rare treasure. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how.
Jump in there.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to hear that one little part. Welcome to another edition of the Superflight Podcast. It's Sunday, June 19th. Happy Father's Day, Mike.
I'm not a father.
I know, but happy Father's Day anyway.
Happy Father's Day to you, Joe.
Thanks. Shh. I have to edit that out now.
No, don't. You've already said too much.
Sorry. Yeah, so it's before we get going, like, I want to give y'all's the ways to get in touch with us. You can tweet at us at superflightpod on Twitter. You can email us at thesuperflightpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook at Superflight Podcast. And what else? Oh, you can listen to us on SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, and if you listen to us on iTunes, subscribe and leave a
comment
or review. Leave a review and rate us, because it'll help other people find us. Anyway, so that's that. How you doing, Mike?
We should have done a sweet intro for the Mocktacular.
Oh yeah,
we didn't work it out.
I didn't even think about that. Well, welcome to the Superflight 2016 NBA Mocktacular.
Mocktacular.
I don't know. Is that good enough?
Yeah, it fits with the rest of our aesthetic.
Our motif.
Underwhelming.
Under yet somehow over.
I would describe my personal aesthetic as underwhelming. Underwhelming. you ready to do some draft talk, or do you want to talk about the Game 7 that's coming up tonight first? What do you want to do first?
No, let's save that for last, because I want to get myself revved
We're
up.
We're matter of hours away.
Matter of hours. I'm pretty stoked about it. Anyway, we'll get into that.
I am too. Yeah. I'm oddly excited.
But today, we've been promising that we were going to do some draft talk. So, let's do it. Let's do a little draft. We're going to do a little bit.
When's the draft?
The draft is Thursday.
Four days and four nights.
It's Thursday, the 23rd, and I've been counting down the hours, because, you know.
Yeah, it's like Christmas for you. It is. Every year.
Every year, it's like Christmas.
You get a broken gift every year.
Whatever, man. I still trust the process. So we're going to do it a little bit. We're going to go off the beaten path, just a skosh, because everybody, I've listened to about 19 draft podcasts right now, and everybody does, like, you know, you start out with number one and you go all the way down. Most people are actually going all the way the full draft. We're just going to do the lottery picks, and we're going to actually start backwards. We're going to go from 14. And based on that, we're just going to do like a little round robin thing, I guess. We're going to each tell you, you know, we have no idea what the others draft order is, or what the other's big board is, so we're gonna find out real time, live, coming at you.
Should be fun. Be about one player from each of us, and neither one has any idea.
Also, I need to stress right here that neither Mike nor I are professional scouts. I don't know about you, but I haven't used their per 48 or per, like, I haven't looked at their stats much.
You're going strictly off of
I'm going strictly off of YouTube. This is a
Sounds
YouTube scouting
thorough,
report.
Pretty
yeah.
thorough to me.
So
I want to say, though, because I was listening to some podcasts, and all these guys talk about this. They're never right. I've listened to years, and they always predict, and people are experts. They never fucking know.
That's true.
I want to say, based off of information that we can collect, we have just as good a shot as anyone else. We are just as good, Joe.
Well, maybe not.
I feel like there's a few experts, sure. There's but they a few. Aren't on ESPN.
Yeah, that's true. That's probably true. Yeah. Anyway, so we're going to give you guys our Mocktacular, our draft Mocktacular.
If you like anything or don't like anything or disagree with us,
feel free to tweet at us.
Tweet the hell out of us.
Let us know that we're wrong. Let Mike know that he's wrong, because I keep trying to tell him, but he won't listen.
Because I'm never wrong.
All right. So do you want to go first, or should I?
Sure. Why don't you go first? We'll open up with the 14th spot.
All right. With number 14, I have the Chicago Bulls selecting Shake Diallo.
Okay. Why do you have him selecting Shake Diallo?
Well, I think that's how you pronounce his name, Shake Diallo.
Check. I've heard check.
Check. Shake. I like shake. You know, shake.
Yeah,
shake,
Master Shake. There's so many good ways to go.
Master Shake. Dude, good reference. Anyway. I just think that, like, at that spot, I feel like they're going to need to replenish their roster with some big men. He seems to be, I mean, based on my big board, this is who's left. I think he's probably the best of the guys that are left on my board.
So you don't think Chicago is going to re-sign?
I don't really think they. I mean, do you think they re-sign Noah? I don't know. I think they probably let him walk.
Why? Do you think they're going to dismantle with Derrick Rose and let him walk too? And let Noah and Rose walk and move on?
I mean, we're not going to get super into trades because it's going to be like a long.
But you went right
podcast.
To big man. Like, they need a big man. They still have Taj Gibson, Pau Gasol.
They do.
Pau Gasol's up to leave if he wants, I think.
Pau Gasol, I don't think, is going to stick around. So Pau Gasol and Joakim Noah, I don't think, are going to be around. I'm just, like, guessing, just looking at the roster right now, this is my best guess. This is how I did the draft order. This is how I, like, I, instead of, like, thinking, like, in, at spots, I did best player available. But in this draft, when we don't know that there's any surefire can't-miss guys, like, I'm just looking at, like, fit for those guys. For the Bulls, I think they're going to need to re-up with some big men. Sorry, go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, I don't. That's it. I was just going to make a joke that Pau and Noah can make perfect strangers, too, in Miami Beach.
Nice.
Pau in the Balky role, yeah. Noah in the Cousin Larry role.
Yes.
It's going to be great.
It'd be great.
I'd watch it.
You should. We should all watch it. That's it.
Why do you have a Master Shake there?
Oh, I just think that he offers more. Let me remember my scouting.
He's athletic as hell, right?
He's athletic as hell. He's fast. I don't think he's very offensively gifted, but I think he's going to be good on the defense, on the defensive end. I think he can move well, and I think he's a good rebounder, if I remember correctly.
A lot of the mock drafts I saw had Chicago taking a big man in the 14th spot.
Yeah.
It seemed to be the consensus, although I wouldn't be surprised if they went with a point guard or someone who can play the point guard position.
Yeah, I mean, it would make sense, and, like, if you're going to do that, maybe take, like, if Valentine is still there or something.
So, good. Glad you brought up Valentine, because I love Denzel Valentine. He's one of my favorite players in this draft. I don't understand why he's rated so far down and hasn't moved up at all.
I think it's because of his might not be that athletic and possibly may not be very good on defense. And the thing about this draft, I think, is that, like, there aren't that many two-way players. So
I think a lot of the teams, everyone's drafting on the, what is it called, prospect, how good they could be.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of it going by athleticism and not how good they are. And a lot of the players who went to school for 4 years and were really good are, I feel like, being kind of looked over.
It's
just not that great, even though they've refined their skill. And I feel like this is one of the NBA drafts more than many in years where I feel like skill has been marginalized over a prospect.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing about that is, though, is, like, well, again, the problem is that, like I just said, there's not that many two-way players. If you're in school for 4 years and you haven't been able to, like, put both of your components of your game together in that time, I don't know if
there's
a great indicator.
There's players in the NBA that haven't put all their components together and do have fine careers. You were just talking about what's his name up in Canada? Bismack Biyombo.
Oh, yeah, Biyombo.
He can't play offense. Not really.
No, not really.
If he was in the draft right now, they'd be like, oh, athletic prospect, plays good defense, has no offensive game whatsoever, and it would be considered a knock on him. He's still developed. But speaking of Denzel Valentine, I had Chicago going with Denzel Valentine strictly because nothing having to do with Chicago, except they could use another guard. I could see Butler going away for whatever reason, them dismantling and starting over. He seems like he would fit into a Hoiberg system. But more than anything else, I feel like Valentine has to make it into the lottery. And of the reasons I ended up just putting him in the last spot, the guy averaged 19 points, 8 rebounds, and 8 assists in college his senior year.
Yeah, he's
with 44% threes. And you're telling me, I mean,
but isn't his shot a little bit wonky? He has a really weird shot. 44%
on threes.
Yeah, but you know who
else? So did Kevin Martin had a wonky shot.
Yeah.
And he's had an amazing career.
It's true.
And I don't know. I could see him becoming a Clay type player. I feel like a lot of the knocks on him were a lot of the knocks on Clay Thompson when he came into the league.
That high?
And he developed very quickly.
He's a little bit older, too.
I really like Denzel Valentine.
Isn't he like
draft.
21 or 22, too?
He went to school for 4 years.
Yeah,
he was in school for 4 years, yeah.
No, I like Denzel Valentine a lot, too. I agree with you on that one.
His dad was a basketball coach. He can play the point guard position. He can play the shooting guard position.
All right, cool.
I'm big on him. I like him.
So I think you're the only thing the reason I didn't go with a smaller guy for Chicago is because of like what I just said. Like, I think they're going to need to re-up with big guys. I think they're going to at least lose one of the two.
Right.
And I think that if you have Butler, I don't think that you'd have to give them like a crazy offer to get him away from them. I mean, just saying. So I think Jimmy Butler stays, and I think that Derrick Rose probably stays unless somebody makes another crazy offer or something. And, you know, Valentine would be great for that point, for that part, because there is really no one backing up Derrick Rose. Well, Aaron Brooks?
Aaron Brooks, Oregon's finest. Yeah, he was.
He's good, but he's getting old.
And he was small based on athleticism. They age quickly. The little guys who were like just athletic as hell, because that goes. He could shoot too, but I just don't see Rose getting any better. And I think they're going to need to be a little bit worried to shore up that backcourt as well. And if you're not looking for a starting player or starting big man, and I'm not sure Cheick Diallo is. I think Cheick's good, but I would think, from my point of view, you would want to shore up that backcourt with all the worries.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
And it's a backcourt-driven league, so.
You want to go snake style? You want to go next?
Yeah, well, now it gets a little spotty, because I kind of shoehorned Denzel Valentine in because he had to go in the lottery for me.
No, I like it. I think that's a good. I'm kind of with you on that. I hope somebody does take him in the lottery. I think he's good. I think he's really good. He's one of my like players that I think are gonna be a find in this draft. Just that's it. But go ahead. Who do you got?
For my next pick with Phoenix, I have Malachi Richardson out of Syracuse.
Oh, wow. All right.
Cool. Who I am not in love with, but I could see Phoenix overreaching for.
Yeah.
6'6", 200 pounds, 7-foot wingspan.
He does not share the ball at all.
Okay, wait. Sorry. I could finish talking about my part before you start criticizing him. I don't love Malachi Richardson either, but the thing is I think he looks like an NBA player more than he is an NBA player. And I think that a lot of people are sold on that. Like, holy shit, that dude really looks the part.
Yeah. I don't know. Does he look the part? I think he can shoot lights out, right? But that's about it.
He can create his own shot, and he can handle the ball. But he actually had the worst true shooting percentage of anyone in the Draft Express top 100. Yeah.
That's so bad.
He's not a great shooter. I just think he could be a poor man's Corey Brewer. I think his shooting's overrated.
Mm.
Corey Brewer learned to shoot, but Corey Brewer came in as just a long, athletic, defensive guy. So
I think in general, like, I would rather take a guy with no shot, but is super athletic and has like a ton of defensive upside.
Yeah.
Just because I feel like you can teach people to shoot.
I think there's more busts on that end than people percentage wise.
Yeah.
I think guys who come in with skills are ready to go are kind of underrated, and people are always like, "Oh, surprise! He went to school for 4 years and refined his game. I didn't think he'd be good, and then he is."
I go both ways with it though. I'm like, I'm always.
I've always thought you go both ways.
Yes. Not always, but on occasion.
Sorry. I couldn't resist. I couldn't resist.
We've gone right
totally,
there.
Totally.
We went right there, right off the bat.
But you just opened the door a little bit. I had to walk right in.
Anyway, is that what you, so he kind of, does he feel a need for them?
I think he's a small forward, and I also think that just Phoenix always drafts guards.
Yeah, that's true.
And figures out the front court positions later.
So I guess
I don't have a lot of faith too. I think Eric Bledsoe, it's been a little underrated how injured he's been in the type of game he plays. Speaking of Derrick Rose,
I love his game though, but I think he's
so do I.
He's just like a bowling ball. He's mini LeBron.
Or big Nate Robinson.
Or big Nate Robinson. Big Nate Robinson. <All right.
laughs> Who, by the way, is trying out for the Seahawks.
I know.
Go Hawks.
Yeah, that's crazy. He's trying to be a defensive back. But isn't he like 36? We are getting off on a tangent.
He played in college. He played for the Washington Division One.
Yeah, I know. Apparently he was really good in college.
He was a two-sport player, yeah.
Yeah. Well, good for Nate Rob. Good luck, buddy.
I love Nate Robinson.
Yeah,
love
so do
him.
I.
Northwest finest.
All right, so we're just getting off on a side, but I will say that like one of my favorite things about Nate Robinson in the NBA was when he was on the Celtics with Shaq and he put Shaq's shoes on and started walking around the gym. It's the most comical thing I've ever seen. Anyway, there was a video online.
Oh, I got you. I've seen it. Physical humor, gotcha.
Yeah, I love physical humor. Physical comedy, man.
Who do you have Phoenix taking at 13?
So I had them taking somebody else with their fourth pick, but for 13, I went with Henry Ellenson. So I just think that he's going to be there again. They're drafting for probably fit here or highest upside, whatever. I think at this position, based on what I had going before, this is the guy for them. Ellenson,
Marquette,
I think
dude.
Yeah, he's a Marquette dude.
Score well.
I was going to say he can score. I don't think he's going to be great on defense. I don't know. A lot of people like him. And I honestly didn't do that much research on him.
He's like prodigy style, where like he's a freshman, he's 1 year out, but 17 up. People doubt his defense, but they doubt every white guy's defense, I feel like.
Yeah.
It's kind of true. You hear it commonly.
Yeah.
I like Ellison. I almost had the Bulls taking Ellison because I thought that he would fit exactly what you were saying.
Right.
But I went the other way with Valentine. I like Ellison. I think Ellison would be good. A comment that I had read while doing all the research for this, which I thought was interesting, is a lot of these guys 15 years ago, 10 years ago, would have been higher draft picks. But the way the NBA is going, their value is marginalized. And particularly, that's the post-big man.
Right. And that's what
Ellison is.
That's what I was saying. That goes back to the idea about like having two-way players, too. Like at this point in the NBA, you need guys that can do both things. Like, it's great. Like, he could be a very good serviceable bench center or power forward for years. Like, come off the bench and give you some instant offense. I think he's got a good offense.
This is why I think Richardson is going to get drafted higher than he deserves, though, because people will see him as a two-way 3-and-D guy.
Yeah.
Whereas that, I don't know that his skill matches up with that role so much as he looks like a two-way 3-and-D guy, a la Corey Brewer.
Right. And if you can actually, Richardson, if you can teach him to, like, share the ball and, like, get a little bit better with, he could be good.
Right.
Like, all of these guys could be really good, but honestly, after the top two, I just see this whole draft being filled with role players of that. I mean, for the most part, there could be a couple guys that surprise us, like Valentine. I still think he's going to be.
I think Valentine's going to surprise some people.
Yeah, but I don't have that much to say about Henry Ellenson. I think he'll be nice. I think, you know, it fills a need for Phoenix, and at 14, what else are you going to do? I mean,
they got rid of Morris this year, and he'd be a nice fit in there. They're going to teach him to shoot threes if he doesn't already.
Yeah.
That's what they do with every guy like that at that size now. Like, can you shoot the three?
Anyway, you want me to go next?
Yeah, what do you got? Utah?
Yeah, so Utah with the 12th pick.
Let me go next really quickly with Utah. We'll go back to Serpentine because
all right.
I have Henry Ellison going to Utah. So just to continue on with all Henry right. Ellison.
That's fair.
So I just want to get that out there.
But
so
why do Utah?
Because
they're kind of stacked with
it's where he fell in my draft when I was putting all the players together.
I know at some point you're like torn between
best player
or best player available.
The way
right?
he worked out, because I didn't necessarily, for the same reasons you had, that there's a bit of ambiguity in his role in the NBA going forward and what he does, having only played 1 year, where he would fall talent versus whatever. And I wouldn't think that if he fell this far, Utah would let him pass. They would just take him on prospect.
That makes sense. I think that happens a lot in the NBA too. Like, you know, it happens all the time actually. Like, you know, you put guys on your draft board, if they fall to a certain spot, like if they're that highly rated on your board, you have to grab them when they're there.
I like Ellison. I think Ellison's going to be a career guy.
Yeah.
I do. I think he'll be around in the NBA.
I don't know if he's going to ride the pine for a while though. I don't think he's going to. Oh, there's a bug in my eye. That was nice. Living in the wilderness in Brooklyn. I don't know if he's going to get off the bench anytime soon. But actually behind...
He's young as fuck.
He is young as fuck.
Derek Favors?
Yeah.
I feel like Derek Favors would be a nice guy to show him the ropes, too.
Well, he would be. He would be. Derek,
I really like Derek Favors. Derek I still Favors think he should be much better than he is.
I think he's actually really freaking good and super underrated.
I think he should be a perennial all-star.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think he was drafted, what, two spots after Boogie or before Boogie in that same draft?
I can't remember this morning.
Oh, I just remember thinking the two of
them. You're asking me to remember years ago.
I know, well, whatever. I just remember thinking the two of those guys were going to be, like, awesome, and I couldn't decide who was better. It turns out Boogie was, but whatever. Anyway, I was really
I really liked Favors when he was drafted. I was big on him.
Yeah, I was high on Favors, too. I have them taking, and this is going to be off of the board for everyone, Jaylen Brown.
Oh, really?
You have
Brown falling.
Yeah, I have him falling big time. Because here's the thing.
I don't disagree with you. I think Brown's one of the biggest X factors and one of the most interesting players in this draft.
I don't even understand the X factor. Like, he's got a wonderful physical profile. Like, his body is exactly what you want for an NBA player.
This is what I was saying about Malachi Richardson. I don't think it does.
Malachi Richardson can actually shoot the ball.
I don't think it stops there. You know that, well, we'll get into Jaylen Brown, but Jaylen Brown, he didn't take an agent. He took Isaiah Thomas as a mentor.
Yeah.
He's fallen a little bit because supposedly he doesn't interview well. People don't like his attitude, I guess.
Oh, really? I haven't watched any of his...
I think his upside, this is why I love him. His upside is Dominique Wilkins. His downside is Harold Miner.
I don't even know who Harold Miner is. Exactly.
Again, we're going back to that.
Exactly.
I think on his upside, if he could put it together, he's so fucking athletic.
Yeah,
he's insane.
But there are about there's an entire D league filled with guys just like him.
Somebody's gonna gamble on Jaylen Brown, and they're gonna gamble big on Jaylen Brown. Bigger than 12.
I don't know, man.
To me. Like, I think that he's enticing. There's a couple GMs. One was named Sam Hinkie.
Sam Hinkie wouldn't do that. Some other ones. No. Sam Hinkie was always best player, but let's not go there. I just don't see the upside. I think he's super athletic. Maybe he could be a terror on defense. I don't think his offensive game is even that. I don't even know if he knows how to play basketball, to be honest.
He can always create really well. He can create his own shot. He just isn't a good shooter.
Well, that's a problem. No, again, like it goes back to
speaking
I was saying.
Of great
like,
defenders, too. He was a very good defender. He can't shoot. He's athletic. He can get in the lane. When he gets in the lane, he does have some problem with certain defenders. I did see some where defenders just like got on his left side, and he got confused for a second.
I mean, whatever. This is my YouTube scouting, and I shouldn't say shit because when you hear my third overall pick, you're going to go ballistic.
Sure.
This is
the opinion of two
guys who love the NBA.
Yeah.
That's it.
We are prodigies in opinions. And nothing else. And but nothing opinion else. Wise, oh my God.
We are the bomb.
All right, let's move past Jaylen Brown.
Yeah. All right. So do you want me to go next?
I just find Jaylen Brown polarizing and very interesting.
I agree.
And I feel like he could go one of two directions very quickly.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't think there's any middle ground for him.
I don't either.
Yeah. He's either gonna like exceed expectations and gonna prove people that think he's really that good, right? Or he's gonna be really bad.
I can't tell too if he's a dumbass or really smart. Like smart in a dumbass way, you know, or just dumb. Like I can't tell. Like part of me is like the attitude's one thing, but an attitude doesn't show intelligence. Then he does other things and I'm like, but he also isn't. He's young as fuck, so it's hard to say.
These guys are young as fuck. That's the thing.
Let's move down. We'll get more about Jaylen Brown because I think I have him higher than you.
All right. Well, you obviously must have him higher than me if I'm defending him that way.
Yeah. All right. Orlando.
I have.
Strangers with Candy? No, nothing.
All right. It's been so long since I watched Strangers with Candy. Strangers with Candy. Anyway, at number 11, I have Orlando taken Jakob Poeltl. How the hell do you say his name? Poeltl. Jakob Poeltl.
Okay.
Is he on your board at all?
He is on my board.
And you have him higher than that?
Well, I like Jakob Poeltl. Marco Poeltl.
I was just going to yell out Marco.
Jakob.
Poeltl.
Jakob.
All right. We get it. That's so I got the title of this podcast.
I like Jakob Poeltl a lot. I think he's going to be pretty good. It's the same. I have the same take as Henry Ellison, as does everyone else, because they're both white big men who are very talented.
I don't even think it's that.
But people take the same take because they look the same roughly.
Yeah.
You see it a lot on draft boards. They're like, this player is exactly like this player. He's like, yeah, he vaguely looks like him, but plays nothing like him.
By the way, he can play like Larry Bird. Also white.
Yeah.
Or Dirk Nowitzki.
That was the Dirk Nowitzki, Larry Bird one where they're like, it's Larry Bird. He's basically Larry Bird.
Because I don't know anything else about anyone else. And
he's got blonde hair and he's tall.
Exactly. So. These two things look exactly alike. All right, let's stop this. Anyway, I think Jakob Poeltl, I didn't do all that much research on him, to be honest with you.
I saw he's rated as probably the best center in the draft. And then you look at how important centers are in the NBA now. Who was it, your boy up in Boston, Turner, said that the mid-range game, which is what we talked about, and I talked about with you, he's like, it'll make a comeback, and it's going to be the next move. Look at the look on your face is priceless. But these things come in waves.
Yeah, of course they do. It's going to totally swing back around.
Big men might be very valuable in 5 years.
When Joel Embiid and Nerlens Noel are killing the league because nobody can get around them, because they're just too goddamn big, I think it's going to swing the other way. I'm just saying.
You can't teach height.
You can't teach height. And there's no... Go ahead.
Why do you have Orlando taking Marco Poeltl?
So, <okay. laughs> because I think that they need somebody to put next to, Vucevic. And Vucevic is nice.
Oh, you see him as a power forward? You see Poeltl as a power forward?
I think they can, Poeltl's going to need somewhat. He's going to need to come off the bench at first, and like that's a good backup. Well, I don't even know who Orlando has as a backup for their center spot.
I do, but I can't think right now.
Yeah.
Don't ask questions like that during the podcast, because I'll have to look it up.
No, I'm sorry.
Do know. I can probably, if I sit down and think.
I know.
Get it.
Well, you are sitting down, so now you all have to do is think. It's fine. But I just think that, I don't know how long. I don't know if they're, Vucevic is going to be in their long-term plans. He's a nice player, but he does nothing defensively. He gets rebounds. and he gets nice shots, but he's not, he's like a 2010 guy that doesn't make his team any better. And I'm thinking,
what do you mean he doesn't make his team any better?
He just doesn't do, like, he doesn't help them win.
That's a really blanket statement you could say about any player. You're like, I don't know, he just doesn't make his team any better.
That's not true.
I don't understand how having a like strong center doesn't make your team better.
I guess my case would be that I don't think he's that strong of a center. Like, don't get me wrong, I like Vucevic.
He's rated extremely high at that position.
Yeah, he's good. I just think that he's like an offense first kind of. Whatever. Maybe I'm underrating him, but I don't know. I think that you put Jakob Poeltl with him, he could learn from him. He's already got a nice offensive game. The knock on him is, like, again, I don't think he's going to play much defense.
He averaged 2 blocks a game in college.
Oh yeah,
40. Like, that's a 40-minute game. He didn't even play 40 minutes.
Yeah, there's kids, he can block shots. Like, crazy.
He's a true 7-footer. He's 250. He's not a lightweight.
I'm gonna have to close that window. It sounds like we're murdering children.
It doesn't.
You're right. He's big. He's a nice player. Sorry. Go on. Your point.
That he's really well polished and really good at that position, so I don't know how he wouldn't help a team.
No, he would. He would help. All right, fine. Whatever. I have them taking Poeltl. I think it'll be a nice fit for them.
I have them taking Wade Baldwin. What do you think about that?
Wade Baldwin. I love Wade Baldwin.
Do you?
I think he's going
to
be.
I just think a Vandy player has to get in somewhere, and I just get like, meh.
You've got him way up, because he's another one that was like way lower in the draft.
Yeah, he was. I moved him up at the very end to take that spot. I had some mixed up. I think at one point I had a, what's his name, the Haitian kid, Scala.
Labissiere.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I had him there, but I think that Scott, I'm not a believer in Scott LaBCA.
No.
I stopped believing. I knocked him out of my...
Your top picks?
No. Yeah, I replaced him with Wade Baldwin as a backup to Elfrid Payton and boy.
There's the other reason that I went with Poeltl is because, like, they already have how many guards? I mean, they've got... what's his...
Yeah, but if they get replacement guards... They can move anybody. I don't totally believe in the development of Oladipo anyway. I think Oladipo's fine. I haven't been in love with him since he came out from Indiana.
Yeah.
Like, both their guards are fine.
I think Oladipo's good.
I don't know that either one of them is exceptional.
No, right. But I think Oladipo's a good player. I think he could be an all-star at some point. And, like, I just think he's not being utilized correctly. And I like their starting point guard. Oh, my God. What's his name?
Elfrid Payton.
Elfrid Payton. Thank you. Who the Sixers drafted and swapped him for Sarge. Anyway, and I like Elfrid Payton. He can't really shoot, but I think their backcourt is fine. Like, you know, I think they were going to need help eventually.
So you think they draft for need?
I think they draft for need, yeah.
I don't totally disagree with you, because Damon Dedmon is their backup center, and that's about all they have going forward, because they got rid of Channing Frye, which means they do have an opening in that front court. So maybe Jakob Poeltl does drop that far.
Anyway.
I actually don't think that Jakob Poeltl is the best center in the draft, but
I don't either.
We'll get there. He's commonly rated that way. I think he's very good, though.
Yeah, I think he's good. I think he's going to be a very serviceable big man. And you had...
I have a Jakob Poeltl going to Milwaukee at the next pick. So
it's funny, because I had a Wade Baldwin going to Milwaukee.
Did you? I did, yeah. This is closer than I thought it would be. All right, why Wade Baldwin to Milwaukee?
Well, you go first, because...
Just Jakob Poeltl, like, great center.
Yeah,
I think that Greg Monroe has reached his ceiling.
I think he
has reached the top of his house and touched the ceiling. I think he has the offensive skills to be an offensive center and nothing else.
I think he can put
the ball in the basket. And I just think I think they have a running athletic team. And just as far as postman or like a big man, I just think they need a guy that can come in and like do serviceable minutes. And I think Poeltl will be a good defender. Actually, I think he's a good rebounder and a great shot blocker.
All right.
And I think that that's what Jason Kidd will look to do.
Maybe I had Poeltl mixed up in my head with somebody else that was offensively gifted but defensively challenged. Huh.
Maybe. Poeltl averaged almost 10 rebounds and 2 blocks a game in his last year of college.
Yeah, but doesn't he have T-Rex arms? Am I thinking of the wrong guy?
You're thinking of someone else. Oh. I know who you're thinking of.
Oh, all right. All right. So I should have scouted Poeltl a little bit better. Sorry. Again, this is just for fun.
And it's so close to being fun.
Yeah. It's fun adjacent. Anyway, Wade Baldwin. So for the same reasons,
next week we're doing our top 14 candies. You'll be shocked who I have at number one. Skittles is number two.
I got
for Milwaukee, you have Wade Baldwin. Why?
Yeah, because I think Wade Baldwin's
your boy. What? Your boy who's playing point guard at Milwaukee. Are you going for the put down on
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. I mean, like, you did it. Yes. Listen, MCW is not in their long-term plans. Okay. I can't believe.
Knock them down. Take them down a notch.
It's not that. I just like, they're running Giannis at the point guard position, which is either going to be brilliant or it's just an indication of like how good Michael Carter-Williams is at the point guard. I just think even if Michael Carter-Williams comes along a little bit better, you know, they could still use a backup point guard. Okay. And I think that's a better fit for them.
I also think Baldwin's more of a shooter anyway.
Yeah.
And he's undersized for a shooter at 6'3". So if someone else is running the point, that makes sense.
So there you go. So like, I think he's going to fit well there. I think he can do a lot of things.
Also, since Michael Carter-Williams can't shoot for shit.
Yeah.
The only problem I have with that is that I don't believe in Jason Kidd as a head coach. Not really. I think that he's in love with Carter-Williams because he's almost the same fucking player Jason Kidd was. And I think Jason Kidd thinks he can fix him the way he fixed his three-point shot.
I've heard some things about Jason Kidd from, like, sources. And I'm not in love with him as a head coach
anymore
either, yeah.
Did your love ride with Jason Kidd hit a tree?
Never liked him. Yeah, totally. in fairness, he was drunk.
So are we. we spent too much time together.
Yeah.
I think Wade Baldwin's a nice pick. I think it's funny that we both have Wade Baldwin going in the same area and Jakob Poeltl going in the same area.
Well, I mean, again,
I think Poeltl was higher on most boards and Baldwin was way lower on most boards that I saw.
Yeah. You know, I'm just going to put this out there. My board, I'm about to blow this whole thing apart because it's not anywhere close to everyone else's board.
The only thing I don't like about Wade Baldwin, though, is that I'm not in love with undersized guys who just shoot the ball, who can't do other things.
I don't know. I think he does a lot, doesn't he? He's
shot 41% from three.
I forgot to write down all my stats.
Which, by the way, wasn't even as good as Denzel Valentine, who shot 44%.
But I think he's got a better shot. I don't think he's got... I'm just saying. I think he's got a more natural
percentages
form.
Percentages don't lie. Percentages don't lie.
It's also small sample size.
And also, Valentine is 3 inches taller.
All right. Fine.
Most of these boards I didn't understand. I understand someone from Vanderbilt. Like, you make it that far in the tournament, someone's good on your fucking team. It's probably Wade Baldwin.
Yeah.
Like, the talent's going to transfer. I just can't believe that, like, Valentine at 6'6", who shoots 44% from threes, isn't more valued as a wing guy.
That's fair. I think I think somebody will probably take it. Yeah, fine.
I'm just gonna
anyway.
Keep arguing for him.
Argue for him, man.
I decided he's my boy. So we're moving forward.
Should we move on to the next? Anyway, sure. Should we say a little bit more about Milwaukee or... Why did you pick?
I already told you.
Poeltl? Did you?
Because
Monroe.
I don't think anyone else believes in Monroe. And I actually think Poeltl might be more athletic than Monroe.
And I was thinking about a big man here, too.
Yeah.
For the exact same reason.
Someone who can run, or if they need to switch up sets, who can clog up the middle and block shots. That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Because Monroe is defensively worthless, and I don't think you need an offensive center on a running team like that.
No.
You only do it if you want to slow it down. I think... I don't know about today's NBA, but you only want to really slow it down for defensive purposes.
Yes.
Ultimately. And Monroe, I mean, I guess he's got a body to bang and fouls to give.
He definitely changes their offense totally. Like, he was a terrible fit this year for them. Anyway, what were you going to say?
Nothing. We're moving on to Toronto.
All right. Discussed. Toronto. Here's where I'm about to blow it up. You ready?
Get weird.
Get number nine. I have, based on my board previous to number nine, I have Toronto taking Dragon Bender.
I don't think that's ridiculous. You haven't fallen all the way to nine, huh?
Yeah. I'm not in love with Dragon Bender the way other people are.
I'm not either. I think he falls hard, too.
Yeah.
Not that hard, but I think he falls hard.
I just... I know he's got a ton of upside. All right, here's the positives about him. He can pass the shit out of the ball for his size. He does move like a guard for his size. I think he's offensively not that gifted, and... I just don't think
he doesn't really have a... It doesn't seem like... I feel like the same thing. He didn't have a good sense of where the basket was.
Yeah.
It seems like he's very athletic for his size. Again, same as Malachi Richardson and a couple of other guys in this draft, where it's just like, oh, they look the part and they're so athletic. And it's like, are they good at basketball?
Yeah, I know. Here's the thing. I think he is good at basketball because he passes really well. His upside... I know.
That's
whatever.
A skill.
But, yeah, I mean, you have to know where other people are.
He's really good at not having the ball in his hands, is what you're saying. Getting rid of the ball, making sure someone else has it.
He's good at finding his teammates, and he can shoot somewhat. And, like, I don't know, he's. I think he has upside for sure. I just don't see the love that everyone's giving this guy. Like, I just don't get it. Like, yeah, he's 7'1", and, like, he's got room to grow, you know, width-wise. He can fill out. I just see him getting slower. And not that he's slow. He moves well. He dribbles the ball well. I just don't think his game's going to translate for some reason. Maybe I have a European bias.
Probably.
he was playing in like the second best league.
I don't disagree with you on any of this. Yeah. That's why I'm not saying anything. I don't really have a lot to say except for the fact that he's fucking huge. He's 7'1".
Yeah.
And he plays like a small forward, so.
A lot of guys, right. A lot of guys in this draft are huge. I think
people still have Porzingis boners.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. And I think it's unfair for them to compare Dragan Bender to Porzingis.
I agree.
Not the same player at
all. I agree. Well, they're roughly the same size.
Right, and sort of the same age.
But I also feel like there's a reason that Porzingis, everyone started referring to him as a unicorn.
Because
they don't exist. They're right. Players that don't exist.
Right. Well, the other thing is, I think Porzingis' shot was much more refined coming out of college, too. Or coming out of he didn't even come out of college. Coming from EuroLeague, anyway. And I think he played in a harder league.
So, too. Who knows? It can be a lot of things. At this spot, I have a... It's funny. We have all the big white guys in the same spot. I have Domantas Sabonis in the spot.
I knew you were going to put Sabonis
in
there.
Of course I do. I fucking love his dad.
But more importantly,
Gonzaga did really well in the tournament. And when you watch Sabonis play, he banged with everybody. He's the one who you think has T-Rex arms. People have been like...
He does have T-Rex arms. I know
he doesn't have T-Rex arms.
He has T-Rex arms. He's like, what is he, 7'1"?
He's got he's 6'11". He's got a great offensive game. Fantastic offensive game. I watched it in college. I watched a lot of Gonzaga. That dude can put the ball in an NBA style. He can do the hook shot. He can do all kinds of stuff. I think that he's 6'11", 240, so he's already got a man's body. He averaged 18 points a game in college, and he rebounded 12 in college, which doesn't sound like shit because you go by NBA numbers, you don't pay attention.
Right.
8 minutes shorter game.
Right.
So to get 12 rebounds in an 8 minute shorter game, it's three more rebounds per game than Poeltl, who's rated as the number one center.
Yeah.
And he blocks shots. He can do it all. I think he's actually going to fall, honestly. I think he's gonna fall quite a bit.
The lottery.
And I think he's going to have a good career.
I hope he does. I think he's going to be a journeyman center in the league. Here's my thing about him. The reason I feel like he's done
he falls
so
right to Portland.
Let's take him. They don't have a draft pick.
I know they don't. I hope they just buy one off of some cash strap town.
I think that I think he'll be a nice player. Yeah. Do you want to pause for a drink quick? Let's finish up
some bonus and we'll do our top eight.
I think he's going to be a nice player.
Always best to start with the sack.
My problem with him is that it's...
Sacramento has the next pick. What are you laughing about?
Hit the sack. it's like we're playing in the finals. Here's my thing about him is that he looks really rigid when he's playing. A little bit rigid.
How many Gonzaga games you watch?
Well, I told you, this is all based on my YouTube scouting. Right. Like, don't hold me to this shit. Right. The reason for me that he has done so well in college is because his dad was a basketball genius, right? His dad trained him really well. If you watch his moves playing against other kids his age,
right. He's
like an NBA player.
Do you know what he actually has that Bender doesn't have? And I didn't watch enough Poeltl to know, but the one thing that people never talk about in these draft videos or anything else, footwork, which
he's
matters
got a nice
in the post.
Footwork.
His dad has taught him his footwork super well. You can tell he's almost like a boxer with that footwork in the post.
Right.
He knows exactly where his feet are supposed to go.
But here's my thing. I think he's a developed product. I think he's nearly finished. I think
really?
He is who he's going to be, and that's topped out. And, like, that'll be a nice player in the NBA.
I also think wingspan is underrated at that position, whereas height is very...
You mean
important.
Overrated?
Yeah, overrated.
Sorry, yeah.
The people talk about these guys, these people with ridiculous long arms, they're like, he's got an 8-foot wingspan. I'm like, yeah, he can't do anything else.
Yeah,
I mean, people really get off on wingspan.
No, I know.
Almost as, like, it's up there with... That's what I didn't like about
it's
the Valentine
fetishized.
One. Like, Valentine almost averaged a triple-double in college. But then people will just be like, this guy's got a crazy wingspan. He should go third.
Yeah, I know. Physical profile, man. People, like, really get into that shit. I mean, you know, the thing is, I always try and temper my expectations with really athletic dudes, too, because later in their career, they're not going to have that athleticism. And you want them to be able to do other things. It's great at the beginning, but if they can't use it, a la Tony Roten, who was, like, super athletic, could make some really crazy, beautiful passes. Actually, we should talk about him later. But he couldn't control his own body. Like, he's just... You know, anyway.
The Russian kid, too, who played for the Sixers.
Yeah.
It was the same way.
Yeah. Let's get a drink quick.
Yeah,
so.
Let's take a break. Right.
Anyway, so we got our drink. Let's speed this up a little bit because we're already 36 minutes deep.
All right, Sacramento, I have your boy, Dragan Bender, going to Sacramento.
Oh, nice.
The reason why is I think Sacramento's dumb enough to take Dragan Bender with the 8th pick and feel like they got a gift.
I think if he falls the 8th...
I could see Vivek just getting super excited and putting him next to Boogie Cousins.
Yeah, I think it's just a dumb...
Like Boogie Cousins ruining him. That's where I see him going, and them chanting his name, all Stauskas.
Yeah. I was just about to completely contradict myself and say, if he falls to 8, I think that's a good pick for him, but I obviously had him going.
I also think Vlade Divac will go for him because he's Croatian, and will really like him and think he can bring him along. A 7-foot Croatian with those kind of skills, that's like Divac's wheelhouse. I cannot see him getting past Sacramento if he falls.
Yeah, that's a
that's
good.
Where I see him landing.
I didn't even think about that. Good call. I have him taking Jamal Murray.
You have Jamal Murray going down this far?
Yeah, I also have Jamal Murray dropping because...
Me too.
Yeah, I don't believe in Jamal Murray at all. He can't handle the ball. Like, they played him at two guard, or they played him at, they started out the season with him at point guard, right? He couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
They switched him to two guard, and he started flourishing. He thrived. So he can shoot the lights out.
Mm-hmm.
He shoot the hell out of the ball, but he's super not so, athletic.
Back to my boy Denzel Valentine. This is why I don't understand Jamal Murray so high. It's because he went to Kentucky, and why
right.
Denzel Washington isn't that high. I was like, aren't they similar players? And people have Jamal Murray. As
no,
high
I think
as three on some boards.
I know. I think Valentine's way more a lot more athletic.
I really like Valentine.
I like Valentine a lot more too. I mean, obviously, some of my big board was based on other people's. I mean, all of it was based on everybody's what they thought people were going to do. But
I think Jamal Murray is just Allen Crabbe part two.
Yeah,
and I don't even know that he's as good as Allen Crabbe because Allen Crabbe can defend.
Yeah, I was going to say I like Allen Crabbe. Allen Crabbe's more athletic as well. Like
you think so?
Yeah, a little bit. I just think that Jamal Murray, man, he's
19.
I know,
and he's
but
skinny.
He looks,
he's skinny as a rail.
He just looks like he's. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a believer. Maybe he'll be great. I'm not a believer though. I think
41% on three, and he took 277 attempts.
Well, I'm just saying. I think the only thing he has is his shot. What was the percentage?
41.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good shot.
I think he gets a lot of credit because he went to Kentucky.
Yeah.
I actually think Ulis out of Kentucky is going to be a good pro, but I don't think he'll make it into the lottery.
I
like
Ulis
a lot.
There's no way he's going to make it
into
the lottery.
He's way too little.
If Tyler
Ulis
was 3 inches taller, that dude would be in the top five.
I still think he's going to be a good pro.
He's going to be a great
pro. He's going to be a steal for someone after the lottery.
I think the knock on him is not only that he's short, though, it's also that he's super thin. He's like legitimately skinny.
Yeah, he's not even 150, right?
Yeah, no, 147,
yeah,
I think.
He's like a little skinny.
He's my size, but thinner. That's. Can you imagine me playing in the NBA?
Yeah,
me neither.
I imagine it all the time when I close my eyes to fall asleep.
Thanks, me too.
All right. So it's funny that you should bring up Jamal Murray, because I have him going to Denver with the next pick to put next to Moutier at the shooting guard position.
Oh, yeah, actually, that would be nice.
Yeah, they have Elliot, the kid from who went to Portland, and basically his legs were broken the entire time he was in Portland. He's a Memphis guy. He had a great, great season last year with Denver, but I don't think because of his previous injuries that this is going to last.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to look long-term to pair someone with Moody in the backcourt, and I think they're going to reach for Jamal Murray.
That's a good call.
I'm not a huge believer in, but I think because of the Kentucky thing and that he's 19, they'll go there. He's about the same age as Moody, and they'll look at that as the backcourt of the future. Who do you have Denver taken?
I have them. I'm really high on this guy. He's shot up my board. Deonta Davis?
All right.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's, like, super athletic, really.
He's very athletic.
I think
people like that a lot, and I could see him also shooting right up there.
I see him
it's between him and Valentine for who is more credited for Michigan State's success. Whatever success they had, they got knocked out right the fuck away when everyone picked them in their tournament, and they lost immediately. So Deonta, 6'10".
Yeah, I think that he's going to be the replacement for the Manimal. I don't know.
Manimal's undersized.
Yeah,
my problem with Deonta Davis, and the reason I don't think he should go in the lottery, I don't have him in the lottery.
Okay.
A lot of people are very big on him for exactly what you said. He's 6'10", 240. He's very athletic. He had up to two blocks in 18 minutes a game. He only played about 18 minutes a game.
You know,
which is less than a half of college basketball.
Yeah.
Which doesn't matter. I mean, the kid, Andre Drummond, barely played for Connecticut, and he turned out to be a hell of a pro, so I could be way off on this.
I had a really good feeling about him, though, but by the way, I'm just saying.
I don't remember you having a great feeling about him.
I'm just telling you.
We were talking about that draft, and I don't remember.
No, I had a really good feeling about him. I said that he was either going to be really good or just disappear. And I was hedged my bets on both sides.
All right, you're about right about 50% about
him. Yep.
I tend to go low on the non-skilled guys who don't get a lot of play. It's the same reason I dropped Scal.
Mm.
Deonta Davis fell just outside of it, and I bet you both those two go in the lottery, and I'm wrong about that because the scouts love him.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised at all if you're right, and they take a big man here. But they have the two, what's their names? The two giant Croats.
Yeah, that's why they, like, I don't think, so they have Jokic and Nurkic.
Nurkic and Jokic,
Nurkic
yeah.
And Jokic.
Two giant.
Two giant, yeah, itches.
yeah. So you think they go with an athletic power forward?
Yeah, I think they could plop him, because you can't play both of those guys at
the same
time.
Do you think Fareed's going to walk? What do you think?
I think he's going to, I think he wants out of there. Or maybe traded.
I think so, too.
I think he's destroyed his own value, though. He was, like... Fareed was amazing a couple of years ago. And
I just always thought he was undersized in a nice market. And when he was running with our boy, who we've talked about a couple times, who's a free agent now, Ty Law.
Ty Lawson?
Ty Lawson, yeah. When he was running with Ty Lawson, I think that that really played to his game.
Yeah.
Like, them going fast, lots of alley-oops. And when Ty Lawson left, I think it did way more damage to Fareed's game because I think Fareed's one-dimensional. Good rebounder, plays with a lot of heart. He's undersized, gets pushed around.
But that's kind of the guy you want in today's NBA. It's odd that he's not, like, having a better last couple. He can't shoot for shit, but right. But, like, he does have a lot of... He's like, all energy and all heart. That's what I love about some of these guys. Anyway.
His game isn't developing.
It's just not. Let's not spend too much
time. He's good at one or two things.
We got still half our board to go, almost.
Nola.
Should I go or should you? I forget who heard.
You go. What do you got?
Buddy Hield.
You have Buddy Hield falling this far.
Yeah, I haven't fallen this far.
I love Buddy Hield. Along with Valentine, another favorite player in the draft.
Here's my thing about Buddy Hield.
What's your thing about Buddy Hield?
I love Buddy Hield's work ethic. I know everybody just talks about his work ethic. I really root for this kid. He's super undersized for his position. Not super undersized. He's 6'5".
You root for him. I thought you didn't like him.
No, I never said I didn't like him. I never once said I didn't like Buddy.
Privately, we talked to you. You're like, Buddy Hield's not going to be very good.
No, I would think I was just referring to Bill Simmons' testicle talk about Buddy Hield that kind of grossed me out.
I like Buddy Hield. I watched him play a couple times. I watched Oklahoma play a couple times, and he looked absolutely like a professional when he played. He looked like he owned the court. He looked super competitive against college kids. He looked like he could do whatever he wanted. And I read about what the knocks were on him. It's fine. There's nothing exceptional that's a real knock on him. I think he's great. He averaged 25 points a game, 6 rebounds. He shot over 500% and almost 90% on threes. He won the Wooden Award, the Naismith Trophy, the Oscar Robinson Trophy.
He's just reading this off the top of his head. He's not actually reading this.
No, I am. I really like Buddy Hield. That's why I had so much information on him. 25 points a game in college is
it's amazing.
Phenomenal. Listen, and he was great on an Oklahoma team that went really far and did well.
He's going to be a phenomenal shooter. I think his knock, the reason he falls to 6 is because I think he gets lost on defense and he's undersized. Like he's nice and athletic. He can shoot the hell out of the ball from anywhere on the court.
People always talk about teaching shooting. You can literally teach defensive schemes.
Yeah, I guess you can.
Sometimes that gets way blown out of proportion. They hide people in schemes all the time.
You can hide people and they'd be good. So Eric, what's their shooting guard now?
His name's Eric Gordon.
Eric Gordon, my God. He's like years ago, I thought he was going to be like the next Dwayne Wade, but he's obviously suffered a lot from injuries. They need shooting.
I thought he'd be the next Dwayne Wade.
They need shooting. Eric Gordon's not that great. They can put him next to Jrue Holiday if he gets better. And they have.
I could see that happening.
Anthony Davis.
It works for Nola. I just don't think Buddy Hield falls to Nola.
You don't think he's going to get there?
No. I do think that Chris Dunn does, though.
All right.
I have Chris Dunn falling here. Now, this is a switch out because I don't know at the number 3 spot if Boston's going to move their pick or not.
Well, we're not talking trades. We're not talking moving picks.
Right. But I could see Chris Dunn going as high as 3. But in my mind, the way I worked it out, I have him falling to New Orleans. 6'5", 205, super athletic. He reminds me of Marcus Smart.
Marcus Smart? That's your comp?
Yeah. All right. Don't see that?
I had Tony Roten.
Does everyone compares to a Sixer?
No. It's just like when I watch his highlights and watch him play.
You watched a lot of Tony Roten, so you're like, that guy reminds me of Tony Roten. I haven't watched a lot of Marcus Smart. So
I'm completely see-through. Anyway, no, the thing about it was that like he makes these brilliant passes at times and can at times hit the ball from three-point range. Mm-hmm. And he's so damn athletic and about the same size. Like he's brilliant. It's like, how the hell is this guy not like one of the top? And then you watch other moments. You're like, why are you not sharing the ball? You had a wide open guy right there. Like, what are you doing? Like, stop. Like, you know.
Right. He can play selfishly at times.
He can play very selfishly at times. I think he's a little bit out of control. And I think I really like.
Fine. I think he's best player available. And New Orleans goes with him because I don't think that Jrue Holiday could shift over. But I also think Jrue Holiday is injured a lot.
He is.
I think that Chris Dunn would match really well in a running offense with Anthony Davis.
That's true.
And if they end up keeping Ryan Anderson as a three-point threat, which I don't know they are. I think he's a free agent this year. He still would be great if they went with Chris Dunn in a running offense and a guy who just sat out there and hit threes nonstop. You can't get much better than Ryan Anderson. I just think it's a nice pick for them. And I think it's best player available if Dunn falls that far.
I don't think he falls that far, like I just said, but I basically have him and Buddy kind of reversed.
Moving on from Minnesota, I have Buddy Hield.
I have Chris Dunn.
So there we go, for different reasons. Anything specific? Why do you have Chris Dunn going to Minnesota? You think they're going to, the Rubio project's over?
Exactly. I think the Rubio project, well, not even that. I think Rubio could just like hightail it out of there like after the end of the year, right? Is he a free agent next year? I don't know. But anyway, like even if, like I love Rubio. I think he has a phenomenal court vision and he's unbelievable passer, great with his handle.
Hyper underrated defender too.
Really good defender. He gets, yeah. I think he's like third in steals in the year or something like that. He's a really good player. He cannot shoot for shit.
Neither can Chris Dunn.
Well, not necessarily. It's a little bit.
So I have Buddy Hield going to the spot.
But here's my thing.
It's someone they can just get fed by.
With Minnesota, you have
Wiggins. Kat
and Wiggins, and these are all super athletic and. What's their
Cat's not a running guy. He's a post guy.
But he's a very athletic guy.
He is very athletic. He can hit from anywhere. Very athletic in the NBA.
It's true. He can hit from anywhere on the court.
Who?
Cat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just named off a bunch of players and you're like, he can
hit. Yeah. I don't know.
He's,
I think
not like if you're going to run a running offense all of the way you would want with a Wiggins or. By the way, Wiggins isn't that great a shooter. And Cat can shoot, but Cat can shoot for a big man. But if you take a pure shooter and you throw him on there, this is the Kevin Martin experiment that they're trying to do. That's why I see Buddy Hield going to Minnesota.
That's fine. Here's my thing was like, think about the defense on that team. I just want to get through my point.
Yeah, I know you're like,
I don't care
fine.
About your I point. I want to get to my said. Point. I just don't want, I want to forget what I was thinking. My thing about putting him, Chris Dunn here was that like, think about the defense, man. You have Cat, you have Wiggins, you have... But not Buddy Hield. Sorry, Chris Dunn. Mm-hmm. Like that's a really strong defensive team. Nobody's going to be able to shoot on them, and they can get out and run like crazy. I just think it's a really nice fit. I don't think they would go. I don't think they would pass on
the
them.
Only thing I'll give you on the Chris Dunn thing over the Buddy Hield, even though I think Buddy Hield is absolutely should go no farther than this.
I thought you were a Buddy Hield hater.
I love Buddy Hield. You should have watched the college games with me.
I did watch him play. I watched Buddy Hield play. He was good.
Which one?
Final Four. Or March Madness stuff. Whatever.
The only reason I would see that Chris Dunn going in this spot as opposed to Buddy Hield is because Thibodeau, if he wants to do a semi-Derrick Rose thing.
Mm.
And he wants to run that style of offense. I don't know that he does. I know he's a defensive guy, and that's absolutely his thing. Again, Rubio's a really good defender. But if he wants to replicate a Derrick Rose Chicago-style system, he might go with Chris Dunn.
Yeah. Yeah. It would work well.
Phoenix.
Who do you got?
I have Marquise Chris from
so
Washington going in the spot finally... at 6'9". For the exact reasons you were saying before about the power forward. I think he's the power forward. I like him because he's a Northwest guy. I don't know that he deserves to be the number 3 pick in the draft. I think he's still very young and underdeveloped. He can shoot threes.
That's not number 3. That's number 4.
Or number 4. He can shoot threes. He can block shots. He can get steals. He's got what you're obsessed with, the wingspan.
He does have wingspan.
Insane man. But if you've seen him, his body looks very underdeveloped so far.
Yeah, but he's also, what, 19?
I think he's like 8.
Yeah, he might be 8.
He looks... His
he's
face
a very
looks
tall 8-year-old.
The thing I do like about Marquise Chris, and one of the reasons I think he'll be a success, is he seems like a very smart dude for his age and where he's at in life. He seems self-aware. I think that's a big help.
I didn't listen to any of his... I haven't watched anybody's interviews this year. I was just like, I can't. I'm just going to base it purely on...
Chris has either been... taught very well how to speak to the reporters, or I think he's just a smart, self-aware dude.
That's fine.
Which I think will play well in the NBA.
That's why I loved your boy on Portland so much, McCollum, because his kid is just so smart. It's like, again, like I come away from very few interviews with basketball players thinking that, man, that kid's smarter than I am. That's how I felt about him. I don't know about Chris Dunn, because I haven't listened to his interview, but...
Why do you have Marquise going to Phoenix? Same reason.
Yeah, exactly. Everything
I think
you just
he'd
said.
Be a great pairing with Bledsoe.
Well, they're going to lose. What's his? Oh my God, not Channing Frye. That was a long time ago, my friend.
Alex Len. I can't.
It doesn't matter. It's fine. I think he's a good fit for them. I think he's the best player available.
Warren, where are you going with this?
I think it's the best player available at that spot. I got to stop doing this because I'm ruining the podcast.
I don't know who you're talking about when you point at me and snap. And
you.
Who am I thinking of right now?
Come on. Link up your brain.
I'm a magician.
I might have had too many beers for this. I've been drinking all day. It's been a long drinking day. I had to start out with some Bloody Marys. Fun. Yeah. It's a nice day outside.
Boston, if they don't trade the pick, you're going to love who I have at number
3. Oh, you're going to love this is going to be a clown show. You're going to pick Ben Simmons, aren't you?
I have Jaylen Brown at number 3.
Oh, that's way too high.
Yeah, I knew you were going to see. I knew I was going to get that reaction.
Speaking of way too high. Wait, you're,
I think that... Danny Ainge constantly drafts like high potential guys who don't necessarily pan out. Like for this ridiculous. I didn't think Marcus Smart was worth the pick.
For that exact same reason, stop there. Right. I have them taking Scal BCA.
Oh really?
Yes. Your Scal face just lit up.
I can't believe you have him that high.
I have him at third.
At least Jaylen Brown was in the lottery.
Here's the thing about Scal. If you watch him, sure. The dude has got all the freaking talent in the world. Mm-hmm. He's really skinny.
Mm-hmm. He played 60 minutes a game in college.
He got in lots of foul trouble. But man, he has potential on both sides of the ball. He was the number two pick, or the number two scouted player, or the, what are they, how do they say it? Like he was, people thought he was going to go like number two overall at the beginning of the season mm-hmm. before he got in all this foul trouble and people realized that he can't really play the game yet. Mm-hmm. I think his knock is that he's a little bit emotionally unstable. I should say like his ego is a little bit frail. And so I think he got bullied around by the coach, Calipari. And, yep. He didn't respond well, so he didn't play that many minutes. But, man, if you watch him, holy Christ, he's just a bundle of, like, raw talent. Yeah. I don't know if he'll ever be able to turn it around.
He should have stayed in college another year.
He maybe should have stayed in college.
Because if you think his ego was soft and he got beat up by Calipari, wait till he gets to the NBA and people literally are beating up on him, throwing around, talking shit to him.
Well, and there's the other thing. I think in Brad Stevens' system, he could be really good. He could flourish. And here's the other thing, like... Boston keeps striking out on these.
Why do you think he could flourish in Brad Stevens' system? Brad Stevens tends to run a semi-half-court offense.
Right, but I think he could do really well in that. I just think that with Brad Stevens, who seems to be a really player coach, who really seems to be able to, like, look what he got out of Evan Turner. He got, by far the most out of that guy than anyone's going to get. He really seems to, like, connect with his guys and be able to get them to, like, buy into his system.
You sound like you're convincing yourself of this.
Whatever, I have him at three, man. Like, he's way too high.
I have Jaylen Brown at that position because I know that they also love wing defenders.
Yeah.
They really, really, like, go high on wing defenders, whether it's Marcus Smart or... who's the guy with dreads who plays small forward that Simmons loves? Anyway, we're just going to do this all day.
Yeah.
Anyway, I can see Jaylen Brown going in that position. Let's move on to LAX because we only have so much life left to live.
Come on. I just wanted to... All right, that's fine. It's 57 minutes. Jesus. Mm-hmm. So I got Brandon Ingram.
I think everyone does. I think Ingram should go first.
Yeah.
I do, but I think that you can't pass on Simmons for obvious reasons. You just can't. If you take Ingram and it's not right,
yeah.
Even though I think it is, if it's not right, then you're just going to... They're going to take Simmons first.
They have to take Simmons.
I actually have a toss-up for the first pick. I either have Diamond Stone or Simmons. I don't know who Philly's going to take. Diamond Stone seems right up their alley.
He's right up.
Great name.
It's the name.
He's a center.
He's going to sell tickets with that
He's
name.
He's a big guy. He probably is going to get hurt.
There you go.
I guess not with that name or Simmons. Who knows who they're going to take?
Anyway, that was their.
Still like Ingram better.
By the way, give me a couple guys that you really think are going to do well. I wrote down a few that like...
Who I think are going to surprise on
surprise
better
people,
than,
yeah.
Oh, I already said him.
Yeah, so did I.
Buddy Hield?
Yes.
I think he's going to be better than people think.
Well,
Domantas Sabonis, I think, is going to be better than people think.
I don't. Totally disagree with you on that.
Oh, great.
I got Denzel Valentine.
And then Denzel Valentine, who is my number one pick to surprise people.
Two people you didn't pick that I... One of them is DeAndre Bembry, who I love.
People are big on him. The St. Joe's kid.
I think he's going to be awesome. I think he's going to be really good. I'm just saying. I think he's going to put it together.
Think Bembry can play too.
He's got heart, and I look for that in a.
I think Ulis is going to surprise some
Tyler
people.
Tyler Ulis is also on my list, and Malik Beasley. That's it.
And Malik Beasley.
Yeah, I got
a lot
Beasley
of people have
him
too.
Anyway, that's it. That's our scouting report.
It was so good.
So good.
It wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be.
No, I know. It wasn't as funny as I thought it was going to be.
It wasn't funny at all.
No, not really. We went way too serious on this one. By the way, this is fine if it's a long podcast.
Really dug in on this one.
Me? What are you talking about? You brought the stats, which I appreciate because don't challenge my pick.
Yes. I was kind of surprised.
It was just the Scal LaBCA pick. I was like, no, this is insane. That, I don't know why I'm cool. putting him in.
Yeah. So game seven.
Yeah, let's talk about game seven. All right. So I had a couple thoughts about...
I mean, now that our whole audience has quit listening.
I know.
No one's going to make it through that.
Hang tight with us, guys. It's worth it. My thoughts about Game 7 are... First of all, I want to talk about Ayesha Curry. What did you think about her tweet?
I thought it was great.
Yeah, I knew you were going to go there. I knew you were going to love it. Somehow I was like...
No, I don't think it was true at all.
You don't
think... About it being rigged?
Yeah.
I think it's way over the top and unthought worthy and like not thought about at all.
Right.
I like it because people are now talking about that, which means that it puts the NBA on its heels, so they have to like get in a position to be like, it's not, which I don't think they did a good job of in Game 6. And also, I just like controversy. I think it keeps things interesting.
Oh, I know you do. I know you do.
I mean, it was getting boring, and then she sent out that tweet. What do you think?
I think I kind of agree with you. I don't know. It was, I mean, the foul that Curry fouled out on was bullshit. There was a lot of bullshit calls, but the thing is...
The two fouls before were bullshit. He shouldn't have been in foul trouble in the first place.
Yeah.
The three fouls in the first 90 seconds were bullshit. They almost fouled out Draymond Green, too. It's almost like they were a toss-up of which star they're going to foul out, Draymond or Curry.
But they're fouling, they're calling fouls on, everything.
And Curry almost never fouls out a game.
Yeah.
And the two last ones were not fouls. They weren't even close to being fouls.
And here's my problem with it. It's, okay, fine, you fouled him out, and you're just calling ridiculous fouls on both sides. Kevin Love was out of the game and went 3 minutes or something like that. He had three fouls in three minutes. It's ridiculous. Knock it the hell off. If you're gonna call,
I hope they just let him play tonight.
Well, they probably
I
will.
Really do.
But my thing is that just be freaking consistent about it, man. Yeah. This bunch of refs is going to call the game this way, and then this bunch of refs is going to let them
play.
I
agree. This is what plays to Ayesha Curry's sentiments. But I also think she's kind of crazy and super Christian. And I want to follow. I almost started following her on Twitter. She also was just like, I was just upset because my dad was racially profiled before the game and the cops gave him a hard time.
I know.
He also looked exactly like a grifter who has been breaking into games and taking pictures right next to Jay-Z. And there's pictures next to Russell Wilson.
Oh, really?
This famous guy who gets into stadiums. He breaks in. He's on every major sports list of do not let this guy in the building.
Really?
And he still gets in.
How do you find this out?
I saw a post-to-post picture of her dad next to this dude.
It's like the
close
same
enough. Oh. No, it's close enough. It's not like they don't look alike at all. This is a lie. They look very similar. If you were a policeman, you'd be like, can I check your credentials?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
but I just like, she was like, he got racially profiled and life's not fair. Life's not fair. I'm rich.
Yeah. Fair enough. I wasn't going to get on that, but whatever. It's fine. It's all... I just think that
I just think it's hard when someone who's been so blessed in life, when they start calling out the unfairness of life across the board. And there were multiple times that night, and maybe she was off her game, whatever. It's great.
I understand.
I love it.
It's fine. I understand her being upset with the league. I mean, I'm upset with that game when you're that close to the league, you can't do shit like that.
Yeah.
It's just unprofessional. You know.
I like a mouthy woman.
Yeah. All right. I'm cutting that out.
Cut it out.
Cut it out.
Keep it. I don't give a shit.
Cut it out. anyway, all right. What do you think about LeBron's performance in the last two games? Oh, by the way, before we start talking about this, I want to say that I have not been able to watch the last two games, barely at all. I can't get a good feed online. And
we're going out tonight.
I know. That's why we're going out tonight.
We're
going
to watch Game 7. We're going to get nuts.
Peanuts? Calm. Almonds?
Yes.
All right.
I watched the last two. The last game.
I've been trying to. I can't get ABC to come in for shit on my TV for some reason. And I've been
talk to Ayesha Curry. Life's not fair.
I know. It's really not fair. She's rich and I'm not. That's not fair. Anyway.
We're going to go out. We'll watch Game 7.
Right.
It's going to be
That's
fun.
Why I'm going out tonight because I'm not going to miss
it
this
It did,
game.
From a skeptic's perspective, totally seem fixed.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying that as put on my skeptic's hat if I want to go that way, which I don't believe they are totally fixed.
I don't believe they're fixed.
Because I'll talk that way a lot and it's really not my thing. It's more interesting and fun. And
I'm not really a conspiracy theorist either.
Yeah.
I just think that the calls are stupid. The problem is, we're noticing the refs in what should be, one of the best.
Right. The refs shouldn't be that noticeable.
They shouldn't be that noticeable.
They're making way too many calls in general.
Yeah. But, and the other thing, so I did get to watch the first half of the game anyway. And when Cleveland went up, 31-11? And we were talking about, in our little text group, these calls are crazy. It might be skewed to one side. But the thing is, you still have to hit your shots. They weren't hitting anything.
Yeah, but you can take people out of the game psychologically, especially if you get them in foul trouble because they can't play defense. They can't touch the other player. Then they're getting scored on and people are talking shit. You can get players out
of
a game pretty fast.
Fair enough. But they were hitting. They were missing wide open shots.
I can make the skeptics argument again, which I like doing. It's not necessarily that I believe it, but
it's fine.
I think it's easy to get a team in an away arena out of a game pretty fast.
Yeah.
Especially if there's semi-equal levels of talent on the floor.
Which I still don't think there are. I don't think the talent level is equal. By the way, I just think that LeBron is that damn good. I go back to, like, I know we've talked a lot this playoffs about how his, about how LeBron wilts when he's up against an insurmountable force. And I disagree with you, and I think he's put this team on his back for two games in a row, which he should, because he's the best.
That's what he wants, and that's the, you know.
Yeah, maybe it is just what he wants. I still think, if I had to choose between him and Curry, I'd still take LeBron. I still think he's the best player in the world, yeah. Especially when he's hitting his shots, which we don't know how long
that's going to last. Yeah, I probably would, too.
It's just a LeBron.
I did follow Ayesha Curry down the rabbit hole and went online and started watching YouTube videos about conspiracy theories with the NBA.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's great. It's super entertaining. Highly recommend you all do it. I have a lot of other feelings about that, but not the point. It's not necessarily healthy either. But there's a bunch of conspiracy videos about how the Cavs are supposed to win this series.
What?
Like calling it for the Cavs. I don't know.
For what reason? I mean, it is
the Illuminati.
Is the Illuminati, reason, man.
Which is like shorthand for I don't have a reason. I'm just nuts.
I love the Illuminati argument. just whatever. When anything goes wrong in your life, just scream Illuminati.
It's not a bad take. When something goes wrong, just be like,
I stubbed my toe. Illuminati!
Yeah, pretty much. That's kind of what has happened online with that phrase.
I'm sure.
I think Robert Anton Wilson made that phrase up.
Really? What?
Never mind. That's a whole other thing.
Going too deep on me, buddy.
All right.
All right. Anyway, who do you like to win?
I put two bets.
Oh, really?
Placed two bets on the Warriors to win the series and finish out the perfect narrative for the NBA.
Yeah. I want to also mention that I did call the Warriors in seven this series.
I said just six.
I know.
That's great. Well, I hope it works out for you and me, because if it works out for you, it works out for me.
That's how?
I win my bets.
But how does that help me?
Because you'll be right that they did it in seven.
I'm one of the bets, aren't I?
No, I don't know what bet
with you. Yeah, we do. No, we have a Limerita bet.
No, with Paul. Not with me.
Are you sure?
Yes, it's with Paul.
Oh, I thought it was with you.
That's really a big aside. You and I don't have a bet. You have a bet with Paul.
You want a bet?
Do you want to bet on the series? Are you taking the Cavs now in seven?
No, I'm not taking the Cavs. I'm not taking the Cavs. All right. Anyway, I do think that the Warriors will probably win.
It's really random that you thought you and I had a bet.
I thought we had a bet. I'm like, nah. I want you to drink the Limerito on the podcast.
You were very confused in that exchange.
I really was.
That
as
made
I
no
am most
sense.
Times.
Yeah.
So we're gonna go have beers and watch the game. Anyway, I think that's probably good. Do you want to do a random wrap up? I know you had something on your mind. Come on, do it quick.
No, I want to get going today. I want to go see the game. We got to go meet Kev here in like 20 minutes.
What? Where? When? It's the game's at 8.
Yeah, but we're getting seats. Good seats.
Oh.
You want to sit in the back and stand for 2 hours?
I don't even know where this place is. Where are we going?
Nowhere near your home.
You know, I'm not crazy about that. Not crazy. I was going to do laundry. All right, anyway. So it's been fun. This is our first annual.
Last annual.
Whatever. Mocktacular.
We have to figure out a better format. It was fun, but...
Yeah, it was okay. It was. Yeah. I don't know. I think it was one of our clunkers. It might have been a clunker. It was a little clunky. Yeah. Right. Anyway, if you guys want to reach us or give us shout-outs. Oh, by the way, shout-outs.
To Mike Duranko.
Dominguez hit us up again.
At Dominguez on Twitter.
He had two questions for us real quick.
All right, let's answer them.
One, the Pistons drafted 18. Who would you like for them to take if they're available there?
At 18.
I had Valentine. I think if they could get Valentine and we just sung his praises, if he's still available, I think they'd be...
Oh, Diamond Stone. Diamond Stone at 18.
Stone. That's who. Boom. Look him up, Mike.
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't know, Diamond Stone sucks, but he has a great name.
I don't know if he sucks.
I don't know if he sucks.
He's better
either.
At basketball than me.
Not
he's got
me.
A better name.
He definitely has a better name.
Imagine he's Stone Phillips' son.
All right. Anyway, the other question he asked is, how old is Bismack Biyombo?
And I don't know, but I would guess he's 36.
Nope. I looked it up. Yeah. He was born on August 28th, I think, or August 23rd, something, of 1992, or 3, or 1. I don't know. Whatever. He's 23 years old. I am bad at numbers.
So his totally authentic birth certificate says he's how old?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, are we going to go straight birther on Bismack Biyombo?
I told you I like conspiracy theories, whether I believe them or not.
Yeah, fair enough. And by the way, if Bismack is that young, I would totally take a flyer on him because
his grandkids swear he's only 23.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, it's been real, folks. If you want to reach us, you can hit us up at SuperFlightPod on Twitter. If you want to email us, it's thesuperflightpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Stitcher, which Mike has no idea what that is.
Nope.
SoundCloud. I don't think he knows what that is either.
I do.
All right. Google Play and iTunes.
SoundCloud is what I don't listen to this podcast on.
Nice. Me neither. And if you listen to us on iTunes, rate us and leave a review. And yeah, that's all.
Thanks for listening.
Peace.
There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to Geico than saving you money, Geico also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the Geico app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite!
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.